Thank you. Good morning. Excellencies, distinguished panelists, colleagues and friends, I'm glad to be here today to open the 17th session of the Intergovernmental Working Group on the Effective Implementation of the Durban Declaration and Program of Action. During this week, you will analyze what is the situation of racial discrimination worldwide, how the effectiveness of the Durban follow-up mechanisms could be enhanced. You will also review the progress made regarding the implementation of the Program of Activities for the International Decade for People of African Descent, and will exchange views on the preparations of the 20th anniversary of the Durban Declaration and Program of Action. You will also discuss the challenges faced by women of African descent. During the last years, a number of governments have integrated protective measures for individuals and groups facing racial discrimination into their laws. Some states collect disaggregated statistical data on their demographies. Others have adopted national action plans against racism and racial discrimination. But can any of us say that our countries have reached a point where all can enjoy human rights on equal basis? Clearly, the answer is far from positive. Inequalities of wealth and income have reached historic proportions. They are stirring social unrest, undermining social progress, and menacing economic and political stability. As such, they threaten all pillars of the United Nations, from development to human rights, to peace and security. Inequalities are nourished daily with prejudice, racism, hatred, and violence, and infiltrate aggressively every aspect of our lives. I'm talking about inequalities in access to work and quality education, inequalities in access to health care, food and housing, inequalities in access to decision-making positions and before the law, inequalities that touches physical integrity and even the right to life. These inequalities disproportionately affect people of African descent, with their deep roots in colonialism and slavery. And when gender and race meet, they create even stronger oppression and suffering. In this dynamic of intersecting discrimination, many women and girls of African descent are most deeply affected. Our office has recently Our office has recently issued a publication on women and girls of African descent. Let us take a brief look at some of the challenges from an intersectional perspective. As regards to education, school dropout rates for girls and women of African descent are disproportionately high. Many women of African descent are particularly discriminated against when seeking employment or in the workplace with low wages and often precarious working conditions. Stereotypes held by employers, colleagues, or business partners can surface during the hiring, retention, and promotion processes. Women of African descent also suffer disproportionately from discriminatory patterns in access to health services, including in the area of sexual and reproductive health and rights. This study highlights cases where police forces have been implicated in hate crimes, including sexual and gender-based violence against women of African descent. Such crimes often go unreported or are not thoroughly investigated. Negative stereotyping is another issue affecting women of African descent. Gender stereotypes interact with racial and ethnic stereotypes. They normalize racism and racial discrimination and are more subtle and difficult to counter. For all these reasons, we believe that digging into racism against women of African descent needs a substantive approach essential to elaborate concrete and effective policies. As a follow-up to these publications, we organized the regional seminar on the empowerment and political participation of women of African descent, which took place early this month in San Jose de Costa Rica. I take this opportunity to thank the government of Costa Rica for hosting this seminar, which proved to be very successful. In her opening speech to the seminar, the High Commissioner acknowledged that Latin America and Caribbean region have experienced an unprecedented growth in the number of women in positions of power. In spite of this, the political presence of women in decision-making posts is still low, since they amount to half of the world populations. But this feminization of politics has not been beneficial to all women equally. In fact, the number of indigenous and women of African descent who have achieved such positions is utterly insufficient. That event recalled the obligation of states to ensure inclusiveness in the exercise of the right to participate in public affairs. It also emphasized the need to collect disaggregated data on participation in political and public affairs for the development of measures to strengthen the participation of groups facing discrimination. It also recommended the adoption of policy measures, including temporary special measures and institutional arrangements to promote and ensure equal participation of women of African descent at all levels of decision-making processes and institutions. We can only deconstruct centuries of racism and structural racial and gender discrimination by working together, fostering synergies and complementarities in the work of the Durban follow-up mechanisms comes as even more crucial at a time of financial cuts and budgetary constraints, but invites us to be innovative. The international decade, together with the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, provides a significant opportunity to not only push ahead such reforms throughout the world, but also to robustly enforce the laws and implement policies that bring tangible improvements to the lives of the millions, particularly of women and girls of African descent. I thank you very much for your attention.